Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 11. First verse we're starting off with today, Proverbs 26 and verse 11. Solomon says, as a dog returns to his vomit, so does a fool repeat his mistake. As a dog returns to his vomit, so a fool repeats his mistake. We're going to talk a little bit about that this morning. And how many knows there's times that we know that God has delivered us from something, but for some stinking reason, we always fall back into it again. Am I in the right church today? We know we've been set free, but then here comes that temptation and we fall right back into it again. It's like that dog going back into the vomit. And you know, dogs really do that. I watch my dog do it. I don't appreciate him doing that, but he does it. And I try to help him not to do that. But I'm going to tell you something. If God delivered you from something and it was good the first time, how many knows it'll be good the second time? He'll deliver you the second time and the third time. How many knows God's not just the God of the second chance? Third, fourth, fifth, and sixth. And so my topic for today is I can't go back. Say it with me. I can't go back. Say it out loud. Look at your neighbor and say, you can't go back. And if you do go back, I'm still not going back. Everybody look at the neighbor behind you. Look at the neighbor behind you. Come on and say, I'm not going back. I've come too far. Turn to the neighbor on your left. I've seen too much. I'm not going back. I've sacrificed too much. I'm not going back. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for the word of the Lord. We're so thankful that it is forever settled in heaven. God, every word from you is absolute truth. And I believe, God, this morning that as your word comes forth, we're going to be taught, we're going to receive, and we're going to be a doer of the word today. Open up, Lord, our minds to receive. Help us to open our hearts to receive. And thank you, Lord, that when we leave this place today, we will never be the same. In Jesus' name, and everybody shout. Amen. You may be seated this morning. I'm going to ask that you would try to your very best to give us your undivided attention if possible. I know cell phones are really popular today in churches, and it's easy to make me think you're looking at your Bible and all the time you're on Instagram, and you want me to think that you're not texting, but come on. So can we kind of just do that? If you want to use your Bible, that's fine, but let's kind of stay together. Let's not be distracted this morning. And when I came in this morning, Alex prayed with me, and he said, I'd already been thinking about this, and he just said, Lord, help people stay off their phones today so that they can listen and not be distracted. And so let's see if we can do that this morning. And sometimes I have my cell phone on and I'm looking up scriptures, or Darlene will say something and it'll kickstart a thought, and I'll get off on that. And it can be very distracting at times. How many has ever looked back over your life? Yeah. You don't even know what I'm going to say yet. How can you say yeah? Have you? Have you ever looked back over your life and some of the things that you've done were stupid? Have you ever said anything that you wish you could take back? We've all done that, haven't we? And once that word's out there, it's impossible. You can say I'm sorry as many times as you want, but that word has still went out and done some damage. Amen. How many has not only done things and said things, but how many remembers wearing things that you wouldn't wear today? You know, you go back and look at your high school pictures, you thought you were a cool dude. You were quite the guy. You were quite the woman. But when your children look at your yearbook picture, they laugh at you. It's not as cool as it was when we were younger. Am I right? You know, you look cute in your yearbook, and some of you are going to go home today and look at them. But we ask ourselves later in life, why did I dress like that? You know, I don't know if you remember these suits, they called them Nero suits. They didn't have a collar, kind of a British style. I used to wear those kind of suits. Bell bottoms, I used to wear bell bottoms. In fact, I almost got kicked out of Bible college for wearing bell bottoms. It was against the rules. I didn't know that. And they said, you do not wear bell bottoms at this school. And Alex, you know what I'm talking about. You've been to that kind of college also. And then we had sideburns. Anybody remember those days when the pork chop sideburns? Way down here. Some of y'all may still have some. I don't know. But I'm not looking at you. But, you know, we thought we were cute. We thought we were the dude, you know. We're the ladies' man. And some of you women may have thought the same thing. But there's people here today that would never go back to the 80s hairstyle, right? Remember the big poofy hair? Boomer? Did you say boomer? And remember there's just a lot of things that my mind wants to go so many places right now, and I've got to restrain myself. But there's a lot of things that we did and wore and said that we wouldn't do today. I remember as a teenage boy, I'd cruise up and down the main street of Festus. And anybody that's familiar with Festus, you know that that was the cruising ground back in the 60s. That's where you drive up and down, and you drive up to the stoplight drive-in there on whatever that road is there. And you turn right, and you'd go down to Three Decker, and there was another restaurant on the other side of the road. Gary, do you remember that one? Is that a no? Huh? Decker's and Smitty's. And you go down there and make that circle, and then you go back up. Then you go back up Main Street again, go up to Biggie Burger where I used to work, where I car hopped and sold hamburgers. And then you drive around and do the same thing. Mark would do that for hours every Friday and Saturday night. And I look back now and I think how dumb and stupid that was. We called it cruising, but we was wasting a lot of gas and just making a fool of ourselves. But, I think if somebody came in here this morning looking like we did in the 60s and the 70s, you would probably think, oh, my gosh, they're stuck in the 60s. They're stuck in the 70s. One of my favorite songs is I'm Stuck in the 50s Tonight. It's one of my favorite songs. I love to hear them sing it. But I just want to show you some things that how we used to look back in those early days. And if somebody can kill these lights back here, and we'll leave the house lights on, Gary. And just kind of see if you recognize some of these people, hairstyles, clothing that you may have used to wear. Okay, let's try this one at a time. Okay, work with me on this. Anybody know who that is? Look how high. Wait a minute. Oh, slow down. One at a time. Okay, that's Christy and her mom right there. But I don't know, Christy, how old are you? Where's she at? Anybody know how old she is there? 17? She doesn't look much different except her hair. Okay, next picture. Anybody recognize who that is? That's Gary Doss in Vietnam. He don't dress like that anymore. He can't even fit in those clothes anymore. Next picture. Now, who's that? That's old skinny mini Dwayne. Look at that hairstyle, Dwayne. What happened to all that hair, Dwayne? Next. Anybody know who that is? Carissa. That's Carissa. Little sweet Carissa right there. Okay, next. Anybody know who that is? Lou Kramer. Look at that dude. Man, now he was a cool dude, wasn't he? Next. Anybody know who that is? That's hard to see, but maybe you can. We can't do a close-up there. But that's Darlene and her dad. That's little Darlene and her dad. And let's go to the next one. Oh, who's that? Anybody want to take a guess who that is? Anybody? It is Carissa Lashley. It is. That's Carissa. Look at that hairstyle. Boy, she had some hair too, didn't she? Next. Dwayne changed his hairstyle a little bit, didn't he? Got himself a curly mullet. He is so cute. Who's that? You know everybody, don't you? Don't talk. Let's see if anybody else knows. You know everything. Yeah, that's old Nikki right there. Nikki Radford. Anybody know who that is? Look at that hairstyle, Boomer. I don't know. What kind of hairstyle you call that, Boom? That's a mullet? How old were you there? Yeah, you're a punk. You're a punk right there. Okay, next. That's pretty obvious, isn't it? He didn't change much. It's old Gabriel. Okay, next. That's Missy. That's Missy in her cheerleading uniform. Anybody know who that is? How do you guys know that? That's Dara. I can't even see her in that picture, but I'm not good at this stuff anyway. Everybody see Dara there? I like that hairstyle, Dara. What year was that? 20 years ago. Okay. Who's that? That's how Sarah looked like that when I first met her. This little Mexican girl that was helping her dad unload wood from a dump truck, throwing it in our driveway 40 years ago. Okay, next. Anybody know who that is? Who's the baby? Max was only that size for one day. He's been growing ever since. Anybody know who that is? Who said Alex? That is Alex. Do you see that? I don't see that. Has hair? How old are you there, Alex?
16, 17.
Yeah, good looking boy. What happened? Okay, next. Next. Anybody know who that is? Oh, we stumped you, didn't we? Stand up, Peggy, and tell us who that is. That's Peggy. Is that the last one? Oh, anybody know who that is? That's me and Uncle Gary. He's got, you know who that is? That's Pastor Joe Skiles and I. Years ago, that was back in the late 60s or early 70s. That's a long time ago. Okay, I think that's all. I had a turtleneck on and a Nero suit. I knew I was cool, right? Okay, but now listen. I took the time to show that this morning because you know it's funny what we used to do that we think's crazy now, right? And we things we used to say and the things places we used to go, you know. But as you progress, as you grow, as you mature, you look back on those things and you say, "How silly!" I'd like to have a picture of Sister Slope and Sister Roth there. Sister Gorley, I'd like to see those back in the day. I think that would have been a good picture. But you know what? There's things that we used to do that just doesn't work anymore, right? You know that old dress that you've been saving since you were at the prom? Throw it away. You're never going to get in it again. You never wear it anyway, so you might as well throw the prom dress away, or at least take it to the Goodwill. I'll tell you something else that changes as we get older is our palate. When I was a child, I would not eat broccoli. I would not eat cauliflower. I would not eat, anything except green beans, corn, and potatoes. That's all I would eat. But as I grew, my palate changed. How many knows that? When you were younger, you thought nothing about going to the greasy spoon and eating a greasy hamburger and fries with the grease just dripping off your elbows. You thought nothing about that, right? You'd say, "Come on, honey, you take my little date. I take my little 16-year-old date, and let's go down here to the greasy spoon." And you thought, "Man, I'm treating her nice." But as you got a little older, you thought, "You know what? Maybe I better take her somewhere really, really, really nice. So I'm going to take her to Ryan's Steakhouse and get one of those $5.99 steaks and treat her right." We've done all that crazy stuff as we were growing up. But you know, your palate begins to change. I can't eat the things that I used to eat unless I stop at Walgreens on the way home and get a couple bottles of Pepto-Bismol or antacids or something, because it's not the same as it used to be. How many knows the older you get, the less choices you have? Your body tells you, don't go to Jack in the Box, right? Now, my mind says, go to Jack in the Box and order 4 tacos, because I still like their tacos. Anybody like Jack in the Box tacos? Do you hear that, Jack in the Box? Give everybody in this church a coupon for 4 tacos, okay? So, as we grow older, our taste buds change. There was things in the old days that we tolerated. We tolerated maybe because we had to. We tolerated some things because, you know, we thought, well, that's all we had. Do y'all remember the old days, don't you? Dennis, remember the old days? Paul, remember the old days? Some. We want to forget some of them too, don't we? I'm going to tell you a story. Somebody told me the other day, he said, "Brother Rhodes, you don't tell us enough personal stories about your life." And so I thought real hard, and I come up with a couple of them. But one of them was, you know what air conditioning was in the old days in a car? You cranked the windows down, right? You cranked the windows down. That's not Melba, is it? Okay. I was looking at. Thought that might be your mother-in-law. So in the old days, we just cranked down the window. That was air conditioning. We made trips from Arkansas to California several times, and the only air conditioning we had was you'd roll the window down. One day, we bought one of these little cylinders that you put ice in, and you roll the window up in that cylinder, and the outside sticks out. The cylinder sticks outside, and you roll the window up, and the vents go inside, and you feel that. Do you remember those, Mark? You had ice in them, and that was your air conditioning. But thank God those days are over. I've been spoiled. Anybody been spoiled? You can't even buy a car without air now, can you? You know, and power brakes and power steering. But one time I had this Cadillac, and I thought I was a cool pastor. This was back in 1977, probably. I thought I was a cool pastor. I had this big old Cadillac and ended up totaling it on the hitting some MoDOT truck up in St. Louis. But before that, the power windows didn't work. I mean, it was a Cadillac, but the power window, my power window on the driver's side didn't work. So me and Pastor Bob Smith, those of you who know Bob Smith, Pat, I hope you're watching sometime today. But Bob Smith and I, he said, let's go to McDonald's. And I said, okay, we'll go through the drive-thru. And I realized, I forgot that my window didn't roll down, so I backed through the drive-thru. And we got to the speaker, and he said, what are you doing? I said, roll down your window. It's time to order. We laughed so hard. We cried and cried and cried. And then I just kept back all the way around to the window. Then I said, pay the girl. Pay the lady. Yeah, that's one of those things you like to forget about. But how many knows once you've tasted of something better, you don't want to go back to the old? You don't want to go back and experience something that you don't have to experience anymore. When you taste what is better, it exposes what was less. When you're exposed to something that's greater, it exposes that which is lesser. Can I tell you another story? Darlene and I were on our way to California one time, and we made it all the way down to Joplin. I mean, we got a three-day trip ahead of us, and we make it to Joplin and spend the night. And I was so cheap back then that I didn't want, you know, I would look for the cheapest hotel in town to find. I mean, this was probably 1980, 81, something like that. 85. Honey, don't say 85. It's not that long ago. I've changed. Okay.
We had been married 1 year.
Okay. 1985. We were on our way to California. We stopped at Joplin to find a motel, and I was looking for the cheapest one there on the range line. Well, I went in and found a real cheapie, and I went into the front desk, and as I was getting ready to check in, the truck driver was checking out. He said, hey, I'll tell you what, here's the key to my room. If you just want my room, you can have my room and it won't cost you anything because I'm supposed to be here all night, but I'm pulling out early in my truck, so just take my room. You know what I said? Thank you, sir. I took that key. We went down to the room, and he got some of his stuff out, and we got in there, and I thought we were settled in for the night, and then I said, "Well, let me go up here to the store and get some water or something, coffee or something." And so when I was at the store, there was a knock at the door where she was staying at in that hotel room.
I was already mad at you.
She was already mad at me. And when she opened the door, it was that truck driver. He said, "Oh, I forgot something." And of course, she was scared. But that was, you know, how many knows we do stupid things when we're younger? I was probably 34 years old, but I was stupid. I've only grown up the last couple of years. Believe me, I've only grown up the last couple of years. But I remember one time, Darlene and I went to Columbia to see my dad, who was in the hospital, and I found out my mom was staying at a Red Roof Inn. Now, my mom could afford something better than a Red Roof Inn. And Darlene and I had already went and got a nicer hotel. And I said, Mom, you are not staying in this hotel tonight. You are going with us to the nicer hotel. And she packed her bags and went with us. But how many of those things, once you've had a taste of something a little nicer, like those premium economy seats, like that business class, you don't want to go back. Amen. If you ever go first class, and there are some that have gone first class, and it's really, really nice. I mean, they treat you really nice there. But once you've gone first class, you can't go back. Everybody say, I can't go back. Once, let me give you a scripture for this. Once you've, taste and see that the Lord is good. How's that? Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Once you've had a taste of the Lord, you don't want to go back to anything that you had out there. Come on, shout somebody. Shout amen, somebody. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. That's exactly what Jesus told the woman at the well in Samaria. He said, if you'll drink the water that I give you, you will never thirst again. If you'll just taste and see that the Lord is good. You will never want to go back. Once you've had an experience with God, once you've been in His presence, once you've been in His in a service where His presence is at, you'll never want to go back to the old. Good preaching, Pastor. Once you've encountered the presence of God, the goodness of God, the faithfulness of God, the favor of God, the mercy of God, you never want to go back to the way you used to be. Amen. Now, you can try to go back, but it's not going to work because something inside of you has changed. Amen. You've had an encounter with God. Remember, even Saul on the road to Damascus, he was on that road and he was gloriously saved, changed his name to Saul or to Paul. But you know, years later, he penned in 2 Corinthians, I think it's 2 Corinthians, no, Romans chapter 11. He said, every time, now here's a guy that's born again, filled with the Spirit, heard from God, saw God. He said, every time I desire to do good, evil is present with me. Even though the Lord has convicted my heart, even though I knew I was supposed to give it up, stop it, quit it. Change it. Every time I look up, I find myself right back in the same place. Anybody been there? You get so mad at yourself, you want to kick yourself. And you know what? If you do that enough times, you eventually want to quit trying to do better. You eventually quit trying to want to stop that which is tormenting you. Do you know why? Do you know why? I have an answer for you this morning that I think will help you to understand you know, why we keep struggling. Because I'm going to tell you, in life, everybody struggles with something. Do you hear me? Everybody struggles with something. If somebody says they're not struggling, can I just tell you real quickly that they're probably not telling you the whole truth. They may not be struggling that minute, but we struggle with things all the time. That's called humanity, right? We struggle with these things. And why is there always temptation? Why is there always something out there luring me away from God? Why is something always trying to pull me away from what I committed to God I'd never do again? I'm going to tell you something, because here's why. Everywhere you go, there you are. That's exactly why. And everywhere you go, there's going to be some kind of a evil influence out there to pull you back. Amen. That's why the Bible says... Oh, I'm not going to tell you that one. I'll share this with you. There are some things you're going to struggle with every day of your life. I'll tell you about my eating struggle here in just a minute. I know you're anxious to hear that. And I know you don't want to hear the word, every day you're going to have a temptation. Every day you're going to be tempted to fall. Every day there's going to be somebody sitting on your shoulder saying, don't do that, or do that, do that, do that. But I'm going to tell you something. We have a God that leads us not into temptation, but delivers us from all evil. Can I hear a good amen this morning? And Jesus said, it'll come back again and again and again and again. Let me give you an example in Matthew chapter 4, when Jesus was tempted of the devil. How many knows that Jesus, the devil came to him and said, hey, Jay, why don't you jump off the cliff? Hey, why don't you eat this, make these stones bread? And why don't you do this and do that? And how many knows that Jesus responded every time with the word, it is written. Three times the devil approached him. And at the end of it, I think it's Luke's gospel, says, and the devil left him for a more opportune time. You know what that means? The devil came back. Don't think that Jesus only faced three temptations. The Bible says he's faced every temptation that we'll ever face in our life. Just because it's not recorded doesn't mean he didn't face. There's more than three temptations, amen? Because it said he said, I'm gonna leave you for a more opportune time. And the devil's always looking for that next opportunity when we're weak. He's looking for that next opportunity when we haven't been full of the word, we haven't been praying, and he keeps coming back. But I want you to shout with me, I can't go back. Shout out loud like I mean it. There's going to be things that you struggle with. That's okay. It's not the struggling that's the sin. It's the partaking that's the sin. And if you'll understand this morning, you're going to free yourself up so much. It's not the temptation. It's not the temptations that are wrong. There's going to be temptations everywhere we go. We can't stop the temptations, but we don't have to allow to be a part of that temptation. We can resist the temptations. Amen? I know you're saved. I know you read your Bible every day. I know you pray. I know you fast. You come to church early on Sunday mornings. You probably work in every ministry in the church, and you do all these things. But there's still going to be some things that's going to be knocking on your door that you're going to be struggling with, that you're going to have to learn to say no to. Amen. Can I hear an amen? Amen? Now, here's where we mess up. We erroneously believe that because we are tempted that we haven't been delivered. Or we haven't been changed. The enemy will lie to us and say, well, if you were really a Christian, you wouldn't have those thoughts. Are you with me? Am I preaching to the choir? If you really give your heart to God and you're really blood washed and that new name is written down in glory, like they sang about a while ago, if that's the truth, then you won't have those thoughts and you won't have those temptations. But I'm going to tell you something. The devil's a liar. I believe the fact that you have the temptation is a good reason he keeps coming around and trying to lure you away. Somebody shout, yes, Lord. If you were really changed, you wouldn't want to do that again. Yeah, come on now. If God really turned your heart around, you wouldn't desire that anymore. If you were really a born-again believer, you wouldn't be tempted. That is a lie from the devil, and I want you to know that the real side of deliverance, listen to me, the real side of deliverance is not that you have the desire, but you don't have to devour what you're being tempted with. Did you hear me? The desire may be there, but you don't have to give in and let it devour you. I think this is pretty good today. Is this helping anybody? Yeah. Stick with me. It's only 11:30. I'll have you out by noon. The temptation is not the problem. It's taking the temptation. Brother Kenneth Hagin used to always say, I can't keep the birds from swirling around my head, but I don't have to let them stop and build a nest in my hair. The temptation's always there, but you don't have to give in to it. And every time you say no, it helps you get a little bit stronger each time. Are you hearing me? Let me give you another personal illustration. After vacation, on Saturday, Darlene and I made a decision that we are going to lose weight. We're going to stop eating this junk food. But we're not going to start on Sunday. We're going to wait and start on Monday because Sunday's the last day to pig out, right? And so we got home on Saturday. We pigged out on Sunday again. And Monday, we did real good. I got up early Monday morning. I weighed myself. I put it in my phone. Don't go looking. I put my weight in there. And I said, well, I'm going to lose so much every week, and I'm just going to work on this. I am determined. But how many knows temptations come? Yeah. Say, yeah. Temptations come. Well, Monday I did good, but Tuesday, Alex, I had to go to a board meeting. And we had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, we had 6 tables at that board meeting. We was all sitting around those tables, and those tables were just full of candy and nice mints and things to chew on and Snickers and Crackle and all that stuff. And then out in the other side of the church, they had all kinds of sweet rolls and things like banana bread and that kind of stuff. So when I first got there, I saw all that stuff in my room. I saw all those bowls there. First thing I did is I walked by and picked up a Snickers. Now, I wasn't going to eat it. I just ripped it open, and I smelt of it. I'm telling you the truth. I wasn't going to eat it. But I thought, well, if I smell it, it won't. Maybe I can say no. But you know what? When I smelt it, I began falling into sin. I went against my commitment, and listen, I'm telling you the truth. I didn't eat just one Snicker that day. We were sitting in that boardroom for hours, and I was asking other tables to pass me their bowls of candy because I'd finished mine. I told Darlene on the way home from that board meeting, I said, Darlene, I have sinned. I have messed it up. And she said, well, I did too. You know, the devil made me eat the whole bowl. As a dog returns to its vomit, so does a fool repeat his mistakes. I'm going to say it like this. If you're trying to lose weight, you need to stay out of Krispy Kreme. Amen? When you walk through Walmart and see those Krispy Kreme donuts and those frosted donuts and all those cookies and everything in there, you know, you need to walk with blinders as you go in there, right? I'm doing some good preaching now. How do I keep from going back? How do I keep from having a relapse? I am preaching to the choir today. How do I make certain that I don't return to something that's going to sicken my spirit again? How do I say no? How do I learn to forsake the old ways and not going back to the old ways? Especially since the Lord has convicted us in our heart. The Holy Spirit has convicted us, you know, don't go there, don't do that, don't eat that, don't say that. You know, we all get caught up in these traps. Yours may not be food. Yours might be cussing, right? Don't you dare say yeah. You know, yours might be alcohol. You can't stop the alcohol. Yours might be tobacco. It's something that you just can't quit. It's got a hold on you. How do I stick to my nose? Not nose, N-O. Okay. There's no simple solution. There's not one sermon that I can preach. There's not one scripture that I can give you. But I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes there are programs that will help us on our way to saying no to things. There are programs. That's what I like about Celebrate Recovery. I'll talk about that in just a minute. But sometimes there's programs. How many knows there's some therapists out there that'll help you? Sometimes, how many knows, if you're having problems in your marriage and you've prayed and prayed and prayed and it's not gotten any better, it wouldn't hurt to go to a therapist. If you have a habit that you can't kick, it wouldn't hurt to show up at Celebrate Recovery and see if you can't get some help. Can I hear an amen? Amen. I'm going to give you three things this morning, then I'm going to let you go home or wherever you're headed. Gary and Connie's headed for Idaho right after church, so let's hurry up and get these things done. Three things that will help you stay committed. If you're going to change and if you're going to be committed in your life and you're going to do what God's convicts you to do and you're going to stay on the right path, the first thing is, number one, you've got to believe you can change. Number one, you've got to write it down. You've got to believe you can change. You see, the enemy convicts us that we can't change. You know why? Because we failed so many times. We go back. We fall off the wagon. What do you hear when you fall off the wagon? See, I told you couldn't make it. You come to church on Sunday, you get touched by God, and you say, God, forgive me, I'm never going to go back, and I'm never going to snort that stuff again. Never, 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 never. And about Tuesday or Wednesday, you're so tempted that you do another snort, and then the devil says, see, I told you, you lied to God, you can't keep your word, you're a liar, you're not a Christian, or you wouldn't do that kind of stuff, and you fall off the wagon, and then you say, well, I just give it up. I'm not even going to try anymore. The devil has convinced us that we cannot change. Look how long you've lived like that. Look how many years you've been doing that. He'll remind you of every time you have quit and failed and promised God you wouldn't do it again. And he comes back and reminds you of all that stuff. How many times have we said, God, if you'll just get me out of this, just this one time, Lord, if you'll get me out of this, I promise I'll not go back. I'll serve you all the days of my life. I think we call those foxhole prayers, right? And how many knows there's been a lot of foxhole prayers prayed by people that's never been in a foxhole? I'm going to tell you something. Mark it down. Satan is an expert of reminding you of your failures. He's an expert of reminding you how many times you have failed. Listen, sometimes I can't even remember my own password to my email. But he can remind me of my failure 25, 30 years ago. Am I right? Sometimes we can't remember our telephone number, but you know what? Satan can remind you of something you did 50 years ago. And all of a sudden, it's looming in your mind again in a big glossy picture. You know what you ought to be doing. You know the Lord told you to give that up, and you didn't give it up. You know the Lord's called you to be this, and you're not that yet. The devil loves to play tricks in our mind. He likes to remind you of everything you've done wrong. And so now you have this mindset. Well, maybe I'm really not a Christian. Maybe I just said that and that's in my head. Maybe nothing really changed. Maybe I was caught up in the moment. Maybe it was just an emotional thing that I felt at church that day. That's the way Satan works. I don't want to tell you, the devil is a liar. And everything he offers to you is a lie. Everything he says is a lie. If the devil says you're failing, turn it around. He must be a liar. I must be succeeding, right? If the devil says you're not going to make it, you might as well turn it around because he's a liar, so I'm going to make it. But you got to get this out of your mouth. You got to believe it. You got to believe it. That's why Jesus looks at the man at the pool of Bethesda. He looks at the woman that's caught in the very act of adultery. He says, go and sin no more. And the reason he tells them this is he wants them to believe you don't have to do what you've already done. You don't have to go back to where you've been. I've got a fresh new start for you. So I've come by this morning with a little bit of good news gospel. Y'all want to hear the good news, right? You don't have to be what you've been. And you don't have to wear what you used to wear. You don't have to fix your hair like you used to fix. You don't have to go back to what you're not a slave to sin. What's that song say? I'm no longer a slave to what?
Fear.
To fear. I'm not a slave to fear. I'm not a slave to sin. I don't have to go back and do what I've done. I'm more than a conqueror. In Jesus' name, I am more than a conqueror. Greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. Amen. Y'all get anything out of this today? Just do this real quick if you get anything. If you're not getting anything, do it with your left hand. Butch and Linda Priest, good to see you this morning. Come on, let's give them a good hand. I just now saw you. Good to see you this morning. We just prayed for you last week. Man, we prayed and prayed and prayed around this place last Tuesday morning for you guys. Good to see you. So number one is you've got to believe. You've got to believe that you can do it. You got to believe that God's with you and God's going to help you and you can turn it around. Listen to this scripture in 1 Corinthians 10:13. I'm reading it from the Message Bible, and basically Paul says, stop rewinding. How many knows that that's our favorite button to push in our mind, the rewind button? No test or temptation that comes your way is beyond the course of what others have had to face. All you need to remember is that God will never let you down. He will never let you be pushed past your limit. He will always be there to help you come through it.
Amen.
That's a word, folks, for all you KJV people. It says, "There is no God is faithful and will not allow you to be tempted above what you're able to endure, but will with a make a way out that you can escape." God didn't create the temptation. He doesn't lead us into temptation, but how many knows he might set the thermometer a little bit. He might control how severe it is so that we can get stronger every time we say no. Amen? So what happens when you give it all to God, your house is all cleaned up, and the enemy comes back and there's nothing been replaced in the house? How many knows it says he comes back, what, 7 times worse? You know why? He looks at there and he says, well, There's not a vacancy sign in there. It's all swept and clean. He hasn't put anything else in there. I guess he wants me to come back. And he comes back with 7 stronger than himself. And so that's why when we give it up for God, we need to put something in there. We need to fill ourselves with the Word of God. Keep the scriptures going into your spirit, man. Amen.
Amen.
All right. I'm gonna hurry here. I'll skip that. Okay, number two. Number one, you got to believe you can change. Number two, write it down. There's some people and some places that's not good for you. Okay? If you're trying to overcome temptation, realize there's some places you can't go. And there's some people you can't hang around. And there's some things you can't do anymore. If you're trying to avoid temptation, if you're trying to change your life, listen, if you have a problem with alcohol, you ain't got no business going to the bars. Amen? If you got a problem with lust and pornography, stay out of the magazine section or stay off of the computer that shows those things. Learn. There's some people and places that's not good for you. How many remembers David and Bathsheba? You know what you remember about David and Bathsheba? David commits adultery with her. You know why? Because he desires her. Why was that desire in his heart? How many knows if he had been where he should have been? There was a war going on, wasn't there? There was a battle going on. And the king's at home watching a woman take a shower on a bath or on the roof. Come on now. He should have been out there fighting with his men, but instead he stays home. And you know the story. I'm not going to go into the detail. But David, how did David know she was up there in the first place? I think I got a revelation, Brother Sue. He had been up there before. He had seen it before. And the Bible says if you look at something long enough, you're going to desire it. That was the first sin that was committed in the Garden of Eden. He would go up on the roof, and he would watch her bathe on her roof. So how did David know that Bathsheba takes baths on the roof? Because he had been on the roof to see before. Everybody got that? Here's my message to you today, okay? Real simple. Stay off the roof. Stay off the roof. If you don't want to fall into temptation, stay off the roof. Amen? So number two, you've got to avoid the danger zone. So, when you go to those danger zones, it awakens that desire back in you again. But if you don't go to the place where that temptation is, if you don't look at that thing where the temptation is, if you don't give in to it, it's not going to be so strong to pull on you. Can I hear an amen? All right. And so learn to walk away. Learn to say no. Sometimes we got to run from some things. Doesn't the Bible say flee lustful youths? Youths, is that right? No. Flee youthful lust. I have a therapist. Are you a speech therapist? Can you help me? Flee youthful lust. Lord have mercy. Everybody say, I love Pastor Rhodes. How many's ever seen the movie Forrest Gump? How many like the movie Forrest Gump? I think I'm going to go home and watch it with Max. He can't watch it? Oh, okay. How come? Tell me after church. Okay. I didn't know that. But how many knows Forrest Gump is kind of handicapped? He's got braces on his legs. He can't run. And do you remember the scene in the movie where Forrest Gump and Jenny are walking together and these three guys start throwing rocks at Forrest Gump? Now, Forrest don't know what to do, so he just stands there, and he takes the beating. The rocks keep coming, and Jenny says, she looks at him and says, man, we can't stay here forever, Forrest. We're going to die if they're going to stone us if we stay here, and you know the story. So she gave him some of the best advice that we can apply today, and somebody tell me, what did Jenny say? What'd she say? Run, Forrest, run. And you know what? He runs. He runs from those things. And that's what I'm trying to preach to us this morning. We need to run from those youthful lusts, run from those things that will get our attention and cause us to fall back into what we've come out of. We don't want it to be seven times worse. We want to stay out as long as we can. Yeah. Amen. Amen. I don't want my mind going back there. Amen. I don't want that stuff going into my body. You know what? It can be tobacco, it can be alcohol, or it can be food. Come on now. Getting quiet in here. Number three. Number two, avoid the danger zones. I'll drink to that. What'd you put in here, Alex? What did I say number three was? Oh. Celebrate the small victories. Small victories. Celebrate those little things. One of the things the enemy likes to do, in the lives of believers, including myself, is he likes to frustrate us. He wants to get us so frustrated and belittle us and put us down and devalue even the small changes that we make. Even the small changes. Listen, we ought to praise God for the little changes. Because you can be sure that the devil's going to come to you and he's going to scream in your ear that, oh, that was just a little thing. That's nothing compared to how many years you did that. Amen? Let me give you an example here. Let's say that Sam has a drinking problem, had it for 10 years. He's convicted by the Holy Spirit to give up all alcohol. So he makes his way through the very first week. He's clean. He's sober for one whole week. The next week, he comes home late from work. And the first thing the wife thinks is he's fallen off the wagon. He's back in the taverns drinking on his way home. She says he's not late because of traffic. He's not late because he had to work late. But in her mind, she says he's been drinking. He hasn't had a drink, but now he's been drinking. And so he is late. He's late for some valid reason. So when he comes home, she says, I want to smell your breath. Now he's mad. Why is he mad? Because she didn't believe him. He's upset because he's been clean, he's been sober for 1 week, and nobody believes him, not even his wife. Sam wants to celebrate. I've been clean for a week. I haven't had a drink for 1 week, 7 days. Listen, that's one of the reasons I like these 12-step programs, and I love our Celebrate Recovery. We've got a great Celebrate Recovery group here at the church. Some of you don't have any idea what that is, but you need to come and check it out sometimes. But you know, in our program, you know, in ours and others, you know, if you come into the Celebrate Recovery for the first time and say, I remember Boomer used to say, glad to have you tonight. What's your name? My name is Howard. And I'm a recovering alcoholic, or I'm a recovering drug addict, or I'm a recovered womanizer, or whatever. You know what we do? We clap our hands and we celebrate. We say, "Welcome, Howard. Glad you're here tonight." I've only been clean for 1 week. Well, we're still glad you're here. A week is better than nothing. Am I right? Cole, you know what I'm talking about. You could preach this message today. You see, what we need to learn to do is celebrate the small victories. Amen? Celebrate the small victories. Stand with me this morning. I'm not even close to being done, but we're going to wrap this thing up here in just a second. Celebrate. Rejoice. If you have been clean for 1 week, you ought to praise God. You ought to thank God that you've been clean. Now, when I say clean, I know immediately our minds go to drugs or alcohol or something like that, but I'm talking about anything that pulls you down, anything that pulls you away from God. I haven't had that thought in 1 week. We ought to rejoice in the Lord. I'm going to tell you something. Praise reinforces your strength and ability and your fortitude to say no again for the next week. Amen. Praise is a powerful weapon. If you come in here today and say, I haven't had a smoke, I haven't had a drink since I came to church this morning, we ought to celebrate. At least you made it almost 2 hours. Am I right? We ought to celebrate our small victories. If you can make it 2 hours, maybe you can make it 4 hours. And maybe you can make it 8 hours. Maybe you can make it 24 hours. Why am I getting so excited in here this morning? Y'all looking at me like a calf at a new gate. Come on. I know what I'm talking about. This will help us today. Learn to celebrate the small victories. Amen. It doesn't matter if it's been an hour, a day, or a month, or whatever. Anybody, we can declare, I may not be perfect. I may not have it all together. And I may not be everything God wants me to be. But I thank God for progress. I thank God I'm further along today than I was yesterday. Come on up here, join me, worship team, if you would. Let's get ready to worship the Lord this morning on our way out. I've got something here I want to say. I've got to find it, though, because I don't want to miss it. Don't let somebody belittle you for the small victories. If you made it for a day, praise God. When I started thinking about what I was going to preach today, I've been thinking about this for about 2 weeks now, and I was really excited to share this with you today. And I felt like I need to just remind the church. You know, if you've been going backwards, or you've been considering going backwards, or you figure you know I'm not good enough, I'm a failure, I've tried and I failed, I've just come with a word today to tell you, you know what, don't give up so soon. Don't let go so soon. There's nobody in this church that's perfect. And I'll tell you, I want it to be known that this church is a non-judgmental zone. You would not believe some of the stories that we've heard as pastors. I would not even divulge into some of the things that we've heard as pastors. When people come to our office, we have to look like we're not shocked. Because we've heard it all. But I want to tell you something. That office is a non-judgmental zone. This church is a non-judgmental church. Are you hearing me? I'm not putting anybody down today for what you do or what habits you have or anything like that. All I'm saying is, if you want to let it go, God will help you to let it go. If God convicts you, you can let it go. Amen. God, here's what I want to say. God's not looking for perfection. He's looking for progress. How's that? God's not looking for perfection. He's looking for progress. Amen. So I want us to sing this song. that I'm no longer a slave. And maybe you can put your own words in there. You know, years ago, y'all are going to find this hard to believe, but you can probably ask my two of my daughters. But I was kind of cranky in my younger years. I was really kind of cranky. I was kind of hard to get along with. I was a know-it-all, unlike anybody here. I was a yeller. If the dog didn't squat just right, I spanked him. You know, I was mean. I was a pastor too. Yeah, I was a pastor. And I just like almost didn't have any control over my anger. And I'm really ashamed of some of the things I did in my past. But I'm praising God today for the progress. I haven't yelled at Darlene in probably 24 hours. So I'm proud. I give God the praise. No, I used to be a yeller. And my fuse was so short. Huh? How short was it? Well, listen, if you're born again today and you're filled with the Spirit of God, you're ruined for going back to the old life. You'll never be happy going back to the old life. Peter tried that one time, didn't he? Remember Peter? After they arrested Jesus, he came back and he wanted to be a part of the group. He wanted to be a part of the good old boys. And he sat down by the fire and warmed himself. And suddenly one of these little girls looked at him and said, "Hey, I know you." "Nah, you don't know me. You don't know me. I'm a stranger." "No, you've been here before. I've seen you here. I've seen you in this town before. I know who you are." And Peter tried to deny it. How many knows he denied it? Three times. And what did he do to convince her? He even cursed a little bit, didn't he? Yep. That ought to let you know that cursing's not of God. Don't raise your hand. He even put out some words. There was this preacher that was riding through his neighborhood one day on a bicycle. And he come up to a little boy that had a lawnmower. And he jumped off the bike and he was talking to the little boy. And the little boy was wanting to sell the lawnmower. And he said, "How much do you want for this lawnmower?" The boy said, "Well, I just want enough to get a bicycle." So the little boy said, the preacher said, "Well, I'll trade you my bicycle for this lawnmower." And the little boy said, "Yeah, that'd be great. Thank you." And he got on the bike and he rode around the yard a little bit. And the preacher got a hold of the lawnmower and he started pulling the rope, trying to get it started. And he pulled and pulled and pulled and it wouldn't start. Finally, he called, "Hey, little boy, come over here. This lawnmower won't start." The little boy said, "Well, that's because you have to cuss at it. You got to cuss it." The preacher said, "I've been a Christian so long, I forgot how to cuss. I can't cuss at it." You know what? You're ruined for cussing. You can't. That's old days. That's old stuff. That's puffy hairdos. That's poodle skirts. That's the old days. I'm not the man I used to be. But I'm going to tell you something. No longer does fear of failure have to have a grip on you. We know who we are in Christ. I know who I am. How's that song go? The new name written down in glory. How's that part go that I'm thinking about? I know who I am. Something like that. I am who he says I am. I am who he says I am. He says, "I'm born again, child of God, new name written down in glory." Do I mess up? Absolutely. Do I fail? Absolutely. But the Bible says, a spiritual man will rise again seven times. We may fall, but we get back up. Father, in the name of Jesus, I've done my very best to present this message the way I felt like you wanted me to. I may have messed up a little bit, but I praise you that we got through it. I thank you, Father, that this word is going to settle in on our lives today. We're going to go home changed. We're going to go home believing that we can change even more. We're going home declaring that I can't go back to the way that I used to be. I can't yell at the kids. I can't kick the dog. I can't slap the cat. I can't be the man I used to be. I can't be the woman I used to be. I'm not a griper. I'm changing, Lord. I'm changing by the minute. Every minute of the day, every hour of the day, I'm changing. Every day of the week, we are changing. I'm not who I used to be. And I thank you, Lord, for the progress that we're making today. God, I know there's people in this house today that have beaten themselves down because they've fallen off the wagon so many times. Maybe they've started out and they even made it, counting the days, made it 52 days, made it 52 weeks, but then they fall again. I thank you, Father, that we get back up. We rise up again. We rise up again. We rise up again because of who you are. Go ahead and sing it, Dwayne.
I'm no longer a slave to fear.
I'm not a slave to anything. No longer a slave.
I